the hope of the gospel. I think one of the saddest sights in the world is a person who's lost all hope. You ever seen someone that, or known someone? I have seen it. I've known it. You can't reach them. You can't reach them. When a person has lost all hope, it just seems like you can't not get to them. But you give that person, I've seen that same person get a glimmer of hope, and it put a snap in their stead. Joy, a reason to get up in the morning, a hope. How powerful is that word? How powerful is it to have a real, genuine hope? And how powerful is it to have a real, genuine hope of being saved when all this is over? And in a little while, all this is going to be over for us. Even for the youngest one here, if they live to be old, it's just a little time. It's just a vapor. That's all it is, just a vapor. Paul says here in Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby Paul made a minister. My first question is this. What is a gospel hope? What is it? Well, I'm going to give you a few things of what I believe it is. First of all, a gospel hope is a hope of full salvation. Of full salvation. It is written in Colossians 2, verse 10, and you are complete. I've written these things down. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In Christ, I stand in God's presence absolutely complete. I don't have to add anything. I don't have to produce anything. He has done it all. I stand complete. You who believe the gospel, you stand complete in Christ. Listen to this. In Colossians 1:22, in the body of His flesh through death, I read this to you, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. That's how Jesus Christ is presenting His people. You, me, who believe the gospel, I know what I am. At least I think I do. You know, we think we're so sinful. Well, we're a lot more sinful than we think we are. I've lived long enough to learn that. I'm a lot more sinful than I think. But He is presenting every one of God's children holy. How is God described? Holy, holy, holy. And that is exactly how He's presenting us. Holy, unblameable. Unblameable. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. But he can't make it stick. I am, in Christ, unblameable. Unblameable. And unreprovable. Can't even be reproved in His sight. And the way I stand in God's sight is exactly the way it is. That's the way it is, the way I stand in God's sight. Now, brethren, that's full salvation. That's full salvation. And here's another part of a gospel hope, is that His people will persevere to the end. He won't lose a one of them. Listen to this in John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, Now, he's not talking about the length of it. He's talking about the quality of it. Eternal life is the life of God in the soul. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You're not going to perish. Christ promised that you'll not perish. I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, Paul writes to the Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll not give up on me. He's going to have everyone for whom he died. He'll not quit the work once it's begun. Isn't that good news? The hope that I'm speaking about here, the gospel hope, is not a wish. It's not a wish. Now listen, this may sound like a bold statement, but I have God's word on it. I expect to be saved. I expect to stand in God's presence, forgiven, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Why do I expect that? Because guess what God's word said? I have his word on it. This is not just wishful thinking. This hope is an expectation of God doing just as he said he would do. As he said. As he said. Being confident. Confident. That he which hath begun a good work. Who's that? That's God. That's God. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, till the day you stand in the presence of Christ in glory. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Here's another hope. Here's another gospel hope. It's a hope of the resurrection from the dead. I have performed many over the years. I've performed a lot of funerals. So I have performed funerals of believers. I have full confidence they believe God. And I have performed funerals of those who had never confessed Christ. But I have a hope that those believers that I have buried, that I have conducted their funerals, and I have a hope that someday I'm going to die and I'm going to be buried. I'm coming out of that grave. I'm coming out. There's going to be a new body come out of that grave. What I'm talking to you about this morning is real. This is not like Greek mythology. This is real. This is real. Paul said look over in Acts chapter 24. Look in Acts chapter 24. Paul, in verse 14, in Acts 24, verse 14, Paul says, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Now there'll be a resurrection of the unjust, and they shall perish. But there's a resurrection of the just. And so shall we ever be, it says over in Thessalonians, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I have a hope, I have an expectation of that happening. I have an expectation that when they lay this body in the grave, that one day, it's coming out of it. It's coming out of it. You know, the salvation is the salvation of the body, soul, and spirit. It's a salvation of the whole person. Of the whole person. And I have a hope. A gospel hope is to be forever with the Lord. I'm going to read you this over in Revelation 21. Here, I'm going to read, I've got it written down here. Revelation 21, verse 3 through 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is the future. We're getting to read the future here. I'm reading to you what's coming. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Brother Henry said to me one time, we were walking away from a funeral. And we was at the graveyard and we were walking away. And he looked at me. He said, I can't wait till we quit dying. I can't wait till we quit dying. There shall be no more death. I'll never conduct another funeral. Never again. Neither sorrow nor crying. We know what that's about, don't we? We know what sorrow is about. We know what crying's about. You ever laid awake all night and cried? I know I have. I know you have. Cried yourself to sleep. Cried you couldn't cry no more. No more. No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. That becomes even more precious. I grow older. I feel more pain now than I ever felt in my life. Physical pain. But neither will there be any more soul pain. No more pain over sin. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I think that? Gone. Listen, for the former things are passed away. They're passed away. Look over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look in the 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. No separation. No separation. You know, it says when he's coming in another place that he'll come with 10,000 thousands of his saints. Wherever he goes, they go. There's never a separation again. Ever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is our comfort. The word of God is it's the foundation of our comfort. God's given us the spirit of comfort, the Holy Spirit. He's called a comforter. He's given us his word. My soul, you think we'd saturate ourselves in it? You'd think so. Now, I've given you a gospel hope, but what's the foundation of this hope? If we have a hope, if I have a hope, if I have a hope, an expectation of being with the Lord forever, of being fully saved, of being complete, being presented before God's presence, holy and unblamed. What's the foundation of that? Well, not necessarily in this order, but I'm going to give you a few things. First of all, the sovereign mercy of God. I didn't create this hope. I didn't establish this hope. I didn't even help establish this hope. God's sovereign mercy. He gave it to me. He gave it to me. Ephesians 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." When did that happen? Before the world began. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." God took care of this matter of my salvation before he ever created the first thing. He took care of this matter of all his elect before he ever created the first thing. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure." Not according to what he foresaw. According to his good pleasure. It was God's. I know we can't grasp this. It was God's good pleasure to make you, me, his people. It was God's good pleasure to bruise his son. In Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And the reason it pleased the Lord to bruise him is you're the result. Trophies. I'm looking at trophies of God's grace. You ever win a trophy? You ever win one? I won a few of them in wrestling. Set them up on the shelf. Thought that was just something. I don't even know where they are now. They're gone, gone, gone. Your trophies of God's grace. The battle's been fought. The battle's been won. The victory's been won. And you are the trophy. And Christ is the victor. And we're victors in him. And listen. "According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." He didn't make me just acceptable. He made me accepted. He received me in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, brethren, that gives me a good hope. Look over in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Was it 1 Thessalonians? I'm sorry, it's 1 Thessalonians. Wait a minute, let me get my Thessalonians straight here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 16. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and" what? "A good hope through grace." That's the foundation of it. Here's another foundation of it. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. It says in Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, tormented for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." The substitutionary work of Jesus Christ for us is a foundation of our gospel hope. It's the foundation of it. And then here's another foundation of that hope. The immutability of God. God said this over in Malachi. He said, "I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob." And you can read it like this. "You sons of election are not consumed. I'm the Lord, I change not." Foundation of this hope is the immutability of God. He changes not. It says in Romans 11:29, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." He doesn't change his mind like we do. He's of one mind, the scripture says, and who can turn him? Who can turn him? And then here's another foundation of that hope, the infallibility of the Word of God. If God has given His Word, He'll do it. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what will happen? Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. David said over in Psalm 130, Lord, I hope. He said, I hope. He said, first, he said, there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I hope in thy word. Where'd you find out about the forgiveness of God? Where'd you find out that God's gracious to sinners? Where'd you find that out at? You found it out in the Word of God. That's where you found it at. In the Word of God. Look over in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, look in verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The infallibility of the word of God is a foundation of our hope. God has caused me to hope through his word. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. All that the Father giveth to me. This is one of my favorite scriptures because it just fits me. It's one of those scriptures, especially after I first heard the gospel years ago. I hung on to it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, that's good news for us. That's something for a sinner to hang on to. Lord, you said, if I come to you, you wouldn't cast me out. You said that. And I take God at his word. I take him at his word. And that's the foundation of my hope. That's the foundation of my expectation. That's the foundation of it. But now Paul gives a warning here. He gives a warning. And he says, go back to that Colossians 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Be not moved away from it. There's always warnings, lest we presume. I don't want to presume upon the mercy and grace of God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to miss Christ because I just presumed upon God's mercy. How can one be removed from the gospel? First of all, love of the world. Love of the world. Demas. Paul spoke of Demas. Colossians 4:14, he commends Demas. Philemon 1:24, he commends Demas. And then in 2 Timothy 4:10, you know what he says? Demas hath forsaken me. That wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen, would it? You know, the Lord says, one of you is going to betray me. You know what the disciples said one by one? Lord, is it I? One by one they said, Lord, is it I? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. Whatever was there in Thessalonica, he loved more than he loved Christ. Matthew 22. He also that received seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I can't even express the deceitfulness of riches. They'll make you think you're somebody. They'll make you think you're the smartest thing on the block. God said, I make rich and I make poor. I told that to a rich man here not too long ago. He was talking, and I said, you know, the Lord said he makes rich and he makes poor. He lifts up and he brings down. It's just like that, God can make a man rich, and just like that, he can make him poor. Another way is this. Another way to be removed from the gospel is this. False teaching. False teaching. I can't express to you what a privilege it is just to be able to listen to a man that preaches the gospel, that stands here, preaches the gospel. But it's also one of the most dangerous things that will ever happen if a man stands and preaches and he's lying on God. He takes the scriptures and he twists it. Paul said to the Galatians, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The scripture says that if it were possible, that the very elect would be deceived. If it were possible. It's not possible, but if it were, they'd be deceived. And then here's another way. Intellect. 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Nicodemus. The Lord spoke to him about the new birth. And he said, Nicodemus, you are a ruler in Israel, a teacher, an instructor, and you don't know what I'm talking about? You know how many people stand in a pulpit this morning doing this? Using the name of Jesus. Paul said they'll come preaching another Jesus. Another gospel, which is not another. You know how many this morning are taking the same Bible I'm using? Using the same name, Jesus Christ, that I'm using, but preaching a totally different gospel and a totally different person? I said to a man some time ago, he and I discussed in the gospel. This man's Armenian as could be. And I finally, at the end of it, I said, you and I don't believe the same gospel. We don't believe the same God. And we don't worship the same Jesus Christ. I know he didn't understand me. I could tell by the look on his face, he didn't understand me. I know that when I first heard the gospel from Brother Henry, my pastor, years ago, when I heard him on television, what he was preaching matched what I was reading. And it matched the one I was reading about. I kept telling the person where I was going, there's something missing. I don't know what it is. There's something missing. You know what it was? It was Christ. It was Christ. He was missing. They were using the Bible. They were using his name, but they wasn't preaching him. Be careful of that. And here's another way. Persecution. Matthew 13. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it, yet hath he not root in himself. He doesn't have Christ. But endureth for a while. When tribulation or persecution rises because of the word, by and by he's offended. He's offended at God. I'm your child. Why is this happening to me? I'm standing up for you. Paul's in prison. He's offended. Things are taken away from him. He's offended. He's offended. Now, last of all, I'll hurry up here. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this for comfort. Why the believer cannot be moved away from the gospel. The believer now cannot, he cannot ever be lost. He or she cannot ever be lost. Cannot be moved away from the hope of the gospel. First of all, God the Father chose him. God the Son redeemed him. And God the Holy Spirit sealed him. That threefold cord cannot be broken. It can't be broken. And secondly, God's glory is at stake. He said, I'll not give my glory to another. It says in Isaiah 43, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. He's mine. He's mine. I'm not going to lose him. He's mine. And last of all, to whom shall we go? Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The hope of the gospel is a hope of full, complete salvation in Jesus Christ, to stand in his presence, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, and I fully expect that to happen. I fully expect to have a new body come out of that grave and to stand before him in a new body looking just like me. Job said, I'll see him with my eyes and not another. My own eyes. I'm going to look in his face. Look in his face. I hope to do that. I have an expectation of doing that. That's a gospel. A gospel hope is an expectation of God doing just as he said he would. All right.